Tonight we'll be in Philippians, I think 3:13 and 14, if I remember right. Pressing on in Christ, part 3. Did I have that wrong?
Sorry.
That's all right.
I thought it was Christian attitude.
Oh, it might be. Actually, I think you're right. I'm the one who has it wrong. So there you go.
Just the titles.
It's just, yeah.
The content's the same.
Yeah, yeah. The content will go right along with your title, Brenda. So, yeah, I need to change that. So before we get started, let's go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer. And we'll, for us, that means simply naming our sins and so we can get in fellowship. And then we can grow and apply the word as according to the Holy Spirit. So let's take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for another time to study and concentrate on your word. We know it always is forthcoming with information and the right truth that we need at the right time. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you're giving us, and we thank you for providing in the circumstances, even though we may think that you aren't, you always are, and you're just waiting for us to recognize you and yield to your guidance. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So let's start off with reading, starting from verse 10. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, we actually made it to verse 13. We got through 12 last Sunday. And Paul's still referring to this idea of pressing on in the spiritual life. The forward momentum that we always talk about, moving forward and just that upward flow. And we get kind of bogged down at times, but Paul's towards the end, later stages of his life, and he's saying he hasn't attained it yet. I haven't arrived, basically, is what he's saying. He's saying he's still reaching for that prize. He's still growing. There's still more to learn, and there's still a lot to for him to grasp as far as his reality in Christ is concerned. That knowledge of Christ becomes a reality to us, remember, more so than the physical. Our spiritual life becomes so real to us that we are not only guided in our thinking by that, but it also guides our life. And that's the reality of the word in your soul, is all that is. And Paul's bringing that out here. So you can say he says in verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not regard. And if you remember, we've actually recently seen this word. I'll show it to you here. It's lagidzomai, and it means, it's a verb, and it means a result of a mathematical calculation, to give careful thought, to hold a view. So you can tell there's some careful thought here. There's some calculation going on. There's a process in Paul's thinking that he knows for certain, because of maybe some statistics or some mathematics per se. In other words, he knows. He can tell what's lesser, what's more, what he hasn't attained yet as far as his spiritual growth is concerned. And he says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. So And the middle voice on this word is showing us that Paul must participate in this reasoning. The Word of God is what gives us our reasoning. That's where we how we understand. That's how we think in a certain way when it comes to our life and guidance in our life. But if we don't participate in that thinking like we're all doing now, we're all taking in the Word, we don't gain that discernment, that understanding that we would have otherwise. So that's the middle voice. It includes the believer's participation. And so Paul is he's measured. And what this is based off of, remember, it's based off his level of spiritual growth, which is measured by the wisdom in the believer's soul. That's what Paul's basing his view off here. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It gives us discernment, and it allows us to evaluate your own spiritual lives. You only know where you are as far as your spiritual growth. I don't know, and no one else can tell where you are. But we have that ability to evaluate our own spiritual level, spiritual growth, where we're lacking, where we need to maybe tighten up a bit. And so that's part of this regarding. And I mentioned that considering Paul is already a mature believer. He's very mature, but he still doesn't consider himself as laying hold of it yet. Then we can probably say the same thing. Because this is, remember, God has designed it so we don't get lazy. We can't just stop and say, okay, I've peaked out. We have to keep going. Because if you look at how Paul is being used at this moment in his life, it's intense. It can only intensify if you're willing to step into that intensity. And that's part of it too. You have to be willing, and you have to be wanting to be used by God. And believe me, He will use you. He will use you if you have the spiritual content in your soul that will glorify Him in the circumstances. So evaluation and considering Paul's thinking here, it brings up the fact that we need to do the same thing when it comes to our spiritual progress, when it comes to our fellowship versus carnality. We can see these things. We know these things. When it comes to passing or failing a test, when it comes to circumstances, is it divine discipline or is it divine testing? We need to have the ability to see, because we're the ones that live in our lives and we make the decisions. And we also apply the Word of God to the circumstances. So we should and do have the ability to see what's going on with each one of these things right here. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, it says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. So this word for test, that's a command. It's telling us to, the word means to ascertaining quality or what one thinks or how he will behave himself. Test yourself. We need to test ourselves. We need to stay on top of that. It says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. And then it says another command. It says, examine yourselves. And this word means to put to the test, to reveal what is good, genuine. And it goes on, it says, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So this verse just brings up the same type of thing, that we do have that ability to examine. No one else around you can examine you more better than the Word of God can. And when you can bounce your experience, your thinking off the Word of God, it will tell you where you are in your spiritual growth. No doubt about that. It'll let you know. So God is using Paul here. You can definitely say God is using Paul to his maximum capacity. I mean, think about what's going on with Paul. He's a prisoner. He's writing scripture while he's in prison. And he's being tested during all of this. With, remember, people coming to visit him, some getting sick. Epaphroditus got sick. Remember, he's getting tested with the guards around him. Remember way back in chapter 1, people preaching the gospel. They weren't doing it correctly. They were doing it out of greed and spite. There's a lot of things happening in Paul's life. And this is the later stages of his life. So he's in it. The intensity is definitely there. And so not many believers can be in the position Paul is in. And the reason for that is because we're not willing to. I mean, that's the reality of it. We come to a point where we have to, either you're willing to go the step farther, or you can take a step back and be comfortable where you are. But we have to understand what's at stake when we do that. What's at stake? We're talking about eternal repercussions, blessings, versus things that are physical that we tend to stop and say, I would rather have this. I mean, there's really no comparison, but at the same time, we do get tired. I understand that in our growth. We can get tired. We can get bogged down by life circumstances. But remember, we talked about catching that second wind last Sunday. And Paul's at that point where he's in that wind right now. And he says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. So even though God is using Paul to his maximum capacity right now, he's maxed out. Because remember, part of being in prison and writing scripture is you miss out on quite a few pleasures of life. You miss out on a lot of things in the physical aspect, but Paul's spiritual, the soul aspect, is right where he needs to be. And he's content. And he knows he's in the plan of God. And he knows he's on that forward trajectory path. And he knows he's about to he's reaching for that goal, reaching for that prize, as we'll see. And that is motivating, to know that you're getting closer and closer to not only dying — that's got to be exciting for any mature believer — but also to attaining a spot in your soul that has a maximum amount of love and appreciation for where you're at in life and who and what Jesus Christ is doing through your life right now. And it just wants you to have open arms and say, just do what your will is through me. And that's where Paul is. He's really in a state of obedience right now. But he doesn't consider as having laid hold of it yet. So we've seen this word too, katalambano. And remember, we translated this word to win or to seize. And that was in verse 12 when Paul said, but I press on so that I may lay hold or win that for which I was also laid hold of or won by Christ. So he's pressing on because of — notice what his motivation is. It's because of Christ has already laid hold of him. So we know for certain where Paul is in his thinking. And we also know that he realizes he isn't where he wants to be just yet. He hasn't arrived. And then the next part says, but one thing I do — this is one thing he does know — forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. This is a good word. Forgetting. It's epilanthanomai. It's a verb, present, middle, participle. And it means to forget, to or neglect, to overlook, and especially the effects that go with failing to notice. So the thought here is not just the forgetting itself, not that Paul is just forgetting what's behind. This is referring to the effects of that forgetting. He's not only forgetting, which allows us and him to do many things in a positive way, he's experienced the effects of that forgetting, what lies behind. What's he referring to? So the focus of this word, as you already heard, there's a positive effect to this. This is a positive thing. Remember, Paul is referring to, see, the next word is forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. So this behind, this word means behind. It means behind or back. So Paul is forgetting about the part of the course that he's already covered. This is talking about your life, your spiritual journey, your walk, and he's leaving those things behind. He just dropped them. He's forgetting about them. Because it makes sense. Have you ever stopped to think about how many of the things that we think about in the past actually have positive effects? Not very many. Not very many. And that's what Paul's referring to here. He's trying to bring up the fact that we need to forget and move on the things that will bog you down in your spiritual growth. He's moving forward. So there has to be something in your mind where you have to keep that forward momentum up. And when you keep bringing up things from your past, that tends to slow you down, believe it or not. That's why we have to disregard those things. Because when we don't, what do we usually think of? Unresolved conflicts. We could have maybe done something differently, and it keeps going through our mind over and over and over again. Or we try to make sense of things that didn't make sense to us at the time. We can reminisce on past times in our lives as if we missed the good old days, and sometimes that can lead you into a state of depression at times. And this is really kind of an escape. You notice that? When the circumstances get intense, we kind of get into this daydream mode. And we go into another place. You know, we kind of escape in our minds. We go back. Or we go maybe forward where we wish we were. And it's really a way to get out of the circumstances. And it leads you into a gray area is what it does. And that gray area many times turns into a negative. And that's where the bogging down tends to happen, in that gray area. And, you know, when we are suffering, sometimes our mind does go where it goes. But before we got serious in our spiritual life, a lot of times that can be what you're thinking about. You know, it seems like before you got serious in your spiritual growth, you had a lot more fun, maybe. Or there was a certain situation in your life where you missed a certain person, a group of people, a time in your life, and you can go back to that. That was before you were positive. And it takes you to a place where you can keep reminiscing about this, and it leads you down to a path where you become depressed. And then all of a sudden you're not appreciating the circumstances that God has given you that is 1,000 times better than what you're thinking about. Remember the Jews? They had just been freed from slavery and they wanted to go back to slavery. They were in bondage and they thought Moses was leading them out to kill them, but he was freeing them and leading them to the land, the promised land. So we can get caught up on false things that are kind of illusionary, if you think about it. So these things can be any form of, sometimes we said escapism, where you wish you could go back to that. Or we can become depressed, as we said, by thinking of the past. Or we can replay past mistakes like a broken record. And can you change those mistakes? No. You may be able to make a change going forward, But you can't change that mistake unless you're constructively learning from that mistake as you're thinking about it. There can be positive aspects of why we think about the past, but the negative outweighs the positive, hands down. Hands down. And that can also bring another thing, stress. It can bring stress. It can bring you down. So, you see what's going on here. I found an article, a short article, from a psychologist named Lawrence R. Samuel, and he has a PhD in psychology, and he said this about thinking about the past. The title of his article, "Is It Good or Bad to Think of the Past?" He says, "I often ponder the movie-like pastiche of my life when I'm entirely awake. Scenes from past relationships, previous jobs, and family events dating back to the Eisenhower administration pop up with reckless abandon. These two likely about reconciliation or an unconscious urge to find closure of some kind. While a fair share of my past dwelling revisits happy times, more of it has to do with regrets, bad decisions, and what ifs from both my personal and professional lives. This latter category can be fairly described as the if I could turn back time variety." And then he makes a joke about a Cher reference here. He says, "This portion of my looking in the rearview mirror is clearly the most troubling part of my thinking about the past." So there it is. That's from a psychologist that I don't know if he's a believer or not, but it goes to show you the point about what are the kind of things that we look at when we look into the past. Regrets, whether it be personal decisions, professional, personal. These things slow us down. They don't do us any good, and they're not constructive on your spiritual growth. And that's why Paul says we have to disregard them. We have to forget. You even notice the word says neglect, overlook. So this takes an effort on our part. That's why the word here is in the middle voice. That's participation on your part. Because if you don't actively participate in this, this will keep creeping in. It's a natural thing. We're human, and we want to think about these things. There's not necessarily wrong sometimes with thinking about these things, but you heard all the negative things. So you have to be active, proactive in this neglecting and overlooking and disregarding. So, and if you think about that, it makes sense because, you know, we can't change any of those things, but we can change the future. And considering many of the negative effects of recalling these things in your life, that's just why Paul is saying why he forgets them. But the present, those are the areas that we can have a new outcome. Only in the present and the future. That's the only new outcomes, changes that we're going to make, forward progress, things to do different is from right now moving forward. The present and the future. And that's really the areas where we can be hopeful, optimistic, because it's the future. How hopeful and optimistic can you be about the past? You can't. Those two really don't even go together, do they? Unless you're waiting on an outcome. But you can be hopeful and optimistic of your future because of what God has provided, because of what He will continually provide, because of what you know for a fact what He will do in your life. That's exciting to me. That brings us contentment. It brings us happiness to know that, hey, all that's done. Did you know we don't have to do all that junk again? Thank God. You just have to worry about moving forward. And how much of a better position are you in now to do that? That's encouraging. See, when we look back, not only were we in a different spot in our spiritual growth, that can also bring you down. Because many times we look back and we say, well, I failed that test, I failed this test, but now is a different day. It's a new day, it's a new time in your life, and you know more than you did then about the Word of God and how to apply it. So that's motivating. And that's what Paul's referring to. That's why he has this attitude of everything going forward, and you can sense that of him about his drive. He has to forget. You got to get to the point where you have to forget, or you kind of just float in limbo sometimes. And you get in these low spots and you get depressed and you don't feel like doing anything. Nothing. That's where it takes you. You don't feel like doing anything constructive. You complain more because you're stuck in that. You're wanting to get out of the circumstances instead of embracing what God has in your life right now, today, in the moment, and saying, you know what, this is part of God's plan for my life. These circumstances, yes, they are hard, but God has given me every single thing that I need to get through them. And that's an awesome thing. That's just grace, is all that is. That's grace. We just have to realize that sometimes. Sometimes it takes us a moment to say, aha, I just need to move on, you know? And I do that. Everybody does that. You get into, you know, why am I thinking about this? You know, this happened 20 years ago. What's going on here? And you can go all day. And, you know, there are people that live their life in the past. And they stay depressed many times, too. And we talked a little bit about identifying and getting rid of the things that can have a tendency to slow you down, too, your spiritual growth. Remember that? I called it the soul barnacles or the algae. They tend to slow your forward momentum down. And this is definitely one of those areas. Definitely one of those areas. You can't change any of it. All you can change is the future and the present and the now. So, you know, I know you've seen people, and maybe, you know, we have too, been at times part of this when they're on a path of unhappiness in life and they decided that they had to do something differently. So they got involved with a church. Ended up going a different direction in their life, and they got involved with an organized religion. And the problem comes in when you don't have enough truth flowing into your soul, you tend to revert back to what you were before you got to that point. If there's no draw from the Word of God, if it's not powerful enough to draw you to a change in your thinking, you're going to revert back. We see it all the time. People are gung-ho about God, Jesus Christ, on fire. And that doesn't last. It dies down because they're not getting spiritually fed. That's an issue. That's a problem. So, and that's why this forgetting Paul is referring to must be combined with spiritual growth. Because guess what? You can't forget if you don't have any truth to forget with. The Word of God is what allows us to drop these things like a hot rock. It's the truth. It's what's ahead. It's everything that we have from now forward. It's exciting. So we've got to have the truth to offset it so we can't even forget. Or you just never seem to move on and you can get stuck in the past. And that's why a lot of people just end up throwing up their hands. If they're not getting spiritual food, they're trying to make a change, they're trying to make a new direction in their life, and at one point, guess what? If there's no change in their thinking, what are they doing? They're reverting back, and they get to the point where they say, there's no different here. There's nothing different. It isn't doing it for me. And that wears on people. It wears them down. And they end up reverting back many times, going back to what they were, going back to a lifestyle that they were in, that they wanted to break out of. Not enough truth to offset it. So here's Paul kind of says what he's doing along with the forgetting, what lies behind. He's reaching forward. Another good word. Reaching forward. Epekteno is the word. It's a verb, present, middle, participle, same thing. And it means to extend, to strain after, to stretch forward, to strain after, in this case, to what is divinely acceptable. That's important. We can strain after a lot of things, but to strain after what is divinely acceptable. So that sounds like a word that is just after your second wind, doesn't it? You're straining forward. We just talked about going through the low in your life, getting that second wind and starting to run, and now you're reaching. You're straining forward to what lies ahead. That reminded me of the sprint relay, you know, on the last leg where the guy's running and he hands him that baton. That's where Paul is talking about stretching. You're trying to give the guy the baton. You can see his hand. It's shaking. He's moving away from you. You're trying to catch him. But you have to stretch literally and run as fast as you can to give it to him, or you're not going to get it there. That's the stretch. And remember what we're talking about in the context here. This is your spiritual journey. This is your walk. This is your pressing on in Christ. Listen to what we've been through. Producing divine good. Remember, in God's righteousness, not our own, which leads to knowing Christ. This is what Paul has been talking about. And then we come to know and utilize God's power in this. Then we participate in Christ's sufferings. And we are being conformed to His death, which was simply conforming to God's design and standards for your life up until the point you die. That's mission. That's all about mission. That's what Christ was on a mission, remember? And that's what we're on a mission. That was verse 10. I know we've slept since then, but we actually talked about all those things. It's amazing how much you can forget in about three verses, isn't it? And now Paul is refusing to think about what has already happened that will affect him negatively, that will adversely affect his spiritual walk and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And he's straining forward in the last leg of the race. So at this point in the race, I know everybody's run in a race before. You've either raced a friend or you've raced in school. So you've all raced. So when you're thinking about the last leg of a race, you're thinking about the finish line. You're thinking about the finish line is what you're thinking about. That's what Paul's thinking about. And in order to reach the finish line, you have to have a strong finish. You have to have a strong finish. So you see that what's building up, you're all in a progressive state in your spiritual growth. But the intensity will become even more when you think about the race aspect. So you will begin to reach to the spiritual things. Your focus is changing because the intensity is changing. Now your focus is on God completely and totally. It has to be because you're trying to win. You're in the last leg, the straightaway here. And I don't know if any of you ever run the quarter mile, but that is a hard run. It's a hard run. I used to run it. I'm not really made to run it, but I did it. And it's about one lap around the track. And the point of that race is meant to be a sprint. It really is. And it's also meant to, in the last leg of that race, you're supposed to have enough energy to go even faster. Well, I just never had that. That was my problem. I never had that oomph to just carry it through. I was completely toast at the last leg. But the same fact remained. I saw the finish line. You saw the finish line when you raced against whoever you were racing to that tree. to that line, to that mark, you saw it. And you wanted it just as bad. Just because you were losing doesn't mean you said, oh, I don't want that. You still wanted it. You still tried as hard as you could to run. The point still remains. So that doesn't change. You don't want to win any less just because you're behind in the race. You don't have a desire to stop. You give it everything you have to finish up. And this is what Paul is referring to in our spiritual lives. Some people never get to this level of intensity. Some people don't. And when you think about how God's grace graces us out in everything, this is understandable. This is understandable, and it makes perfect sense to me because we have a free will. We have free volition. We can choose what we want. We can choose what level of intensity. We can choose whether we want third, second, or first. We choose that. No one around you, no one affects your circumstances where they can say, no, you're not going to get first, you're going to get second. That's us. We enter the race. We become an athlete at salvation, and we enter the race. We're all in the race. We know that. We're all at some point of the track running. No one can take first place away from you when it comes to spiritual growth and the end goal. Nobody. But guess what? You've got to want it. I cannot make you want it. You have to want it. And that'll be different for each one of you. Some of you won't want it. Some of you will want it. And I just wanted to bring that up now because it's not just a thing that comes by doing nothing. Even though we know that who's in charge, we know who our power is, we know that God is, without God, we are nothing. But at the same time, we have to do something. So don't ever confuse that. I know we're talking about this as a race and running and stretching, but don't ever confuse the human power or effort versus divine. Because God is really the one that's running the race here. Paul is in a position where the intensity is increasing, but he is becoming more content, more happy. Why? Because he has the capacity to handle whatever God throws at him. That's where we need to be. And that's why it's encouraging to know that even though the circumstances may get worse looking to some people or more intense, you can handle them better. You can handle them more gracefully. You can allow God to work the circumstances out to your benefit. And that's where you can kind of get in a little comfort zone and watch God work. That's really what it's all about. It's not about us winning because God has already won. It's a matter of meeting Him there. It's a matter of meeting Him there. And when Paul is talking about straining forward, the word is in the middle voice again. We hear a lot of participation, don't we? So, and we do. We do have to positively participate by extending ourselves. And what does that look like? Positive volition. Positive volition. That's extending yourselves. The fact that you're here is positive volition. You're extending yourselves, believe it or not. That's an extension. Because you want to lay hold of what is divinely acceptable. That, remember the definition of the word. You're stretching forward. You want to see what's in the Word of God. What does the Word have to say? How does He say it? What does it mean? How can I apply it to my life? So remember when we were talking about that pressing on Paul had mentioned. And we were talking about accounting for your hours in your day. Some of you thought I was referring to studying all day. But that's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about whether you're in fellowship or not. Because we can be out of fellowship all day and still have a Bible study once a day. Believe it or not. Actually, that doesn't make much sense to me, but I guess it is possible. But you see, the fact remains that if we're going to extend and we're going to be in a spiritual race, you don't want to be disqualified all day. You want to be in fellowship. That includes what? Holding yourself accountable when it comes to sins. Simply naming them and moving forward. That's it. That's easy. Remember, we got the easy part in that because of the cross. So the focus always is on thinking first. Always, when it comes to your spiritual growth. What you do follows your thinking. So when you reach forward to the divinely acceptable things, that counts when you're in fellowship. Because guess what you're doing then? You're actually thinking with those things and you're applying them to the test and the circumstances in your life. You're striving. You're forgetting what lies behind. You're moving forward. That's all positive. That's how we participate. And that takes moment-by-moment decisions. Day-to-day decisions. That's the worship in your soul. Because, see, you have a new attitude. You want to glorify God. Every day, for a maximum amount of time in your life, you want to be in fellowship. You want to make right decisions. You want to apply His Word. So, see how what you do is less important when what you do is a result of what you think. One follows the other and they can't be reversed. Because when they are, you get off track. So how do we participate? Studying, growing, applying. And most importantly, being in fellowship. Those four things. Examining ourselves. This has to do with that examining yourselves daily. Routinely examine yourselves by keeping an account of sins and naming those sins to God the Father. So that what? You can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. See how you can even deter or bypass divine judgment or discipline? If you simply keep account, stay on top and judge yourself. It says, judge yourselves rightly so that we would not be judged. That's it. Out of fellowship brings divine discipline. No doubt about it. The longer you stay out of fellowship, you can expect divine discipline to come your way. But all you got to do is get back in. And then after that, you're glorifying God within that suffering. So Paul just showed us that there are two righteousnesses, remember? One is man's, one is God's. And there was only one absolute one in that. I hope you remember that. And that includes you being cleansed from all unrighteousness. So if we want to talk about intensifying the race we're in, or reaching and straining in the last leg of the spiritual race, we must focus on these areas. Fellowship, growth, and application. Fellowship, growth, and application. And then when those things get consistent and constant, then all the other negative effects of the changes in your life, the suffering, the testing, no longer affect you in the way that they did before. But in a positive way, knowing that they are specifically designed for you and for God's purposes. That's major. What you have going on right now in your life has serious purpose. You just have to wake up and know what's going on. We have to step up and say, okay, this is not just happening because it's happening because God hates me. No, there's purpose. God knows you're spiritually growing. And He knows that you can glorify Him in those circumstances. That's why He has them in your life. Not because so we can complain. Complete opposite effect. So forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Remember that the variables of life have no power over you unless you allow them to have power. Whether they're hard, whether they're not hard, they have no power over you. Everything happens in the mind. Everything happens in the mind. We allow things like that to affect us negatively. So verse 14. It says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the sentence actually begins with a preposition. You can't see it, but kata. And what it's introducing, what that means, is it means purpose. So what Paul's been talking about, this is giving us the purpose for what forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward is. And what is it? For the purpose of pressing on towards the goal. See the forward momentum again? And we've actually seen, remember the word pressing on? We've seen that. To move rapidly and decisively toward an objective. To press on. Paul already used that in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So, now he says a little bit different though. Look at what he says. I press on towards the goal. Or some translations say the mark. It's a little bit different. And this must include forgetting what lies behind. It has to. It has to. At this stage in your spiritual growth. At least the things that slow you down. And then we have one more preposition. Just before the word prize, you see it's translated for here. And it's giving us reason. So we have a purpose, and now we have a reason, or we can say result. Since Paul is desiring and aiming for this very result. The prize. The prize. That's what he's aiming at. Or the goal. The prize. So, let's see if I have this word up here. Yeah, the prize. This is an interesting word. It means a mark. It means a mark on which to fix the eye. It's where we get our word scope, as in a gun scope. It's skopos is the word. It can mean the final end marker of a foot race. The end marker. And it can also mean reaching the final destination in your spiritual life. Your crosshairs are set, is what Paul is saying, on the prize. You're zeroed in your thinking, in your objectives in life, in why you're here, in your purpose, in your motivation. Everything is aimed on this, on the prize, on your spiritual life. It's a good word. The end marker. And aren't we doing the same thing? This is the reason we're doing this, because we have a goal. We know there is an end point, and we know that we only have so much time to do it. So much time to complete it. And by the grace of God, what do? We grow up spiritually and we reach the mark. We reach it. We reach the mark. So, this goes to show, this brings up another aspect, that no matter your age, no matter your physical abilities, that God gives us all a shot to reach this point in our spiritual growth if we desire it. if we desire it. He gives you a shot, but you have to want it. Gives us all a shot, and that's the grace of God. So, because, you know, we can all be off track in our spiritual lives, and then later on in life become positive. Guess what? God honors faithful believers. No matter what, God honors faithfulness. He presses back with faithfulness. Even more so. So you can't be sorry about the past. Disregard. Press on. Disregard and press on. God's grace meets everyone right where we are in our lives and works in our little bitty bubbles and circumstances. Because everybody's different. Everybody has a unique circumstance, a unique time when you turn to go in the direction of the race. And He honors that. Because He knows where you're at and He knows you're straining. He knows you're reaching forward. He honors that without a doubt. So, and just the fact that, you know, you have all decided to move forward in this race means that you're on board with God's purposes and will for your life. That's huge. That is huge. You've decided, okay, despite everything and anything that's going on, I know where I'm at and I know what this is for. It's for God's purposes. And the fact that you realize that and want to be a part of that, that's big. That's a big deal. You're willing to see what He wants for you and not what you want for yourself. There's a big difference there. You're willing to see what God wants for your life specifically. And you know what you do? You step back and you allow Him to guide you to where He wants you to go. He opens doors. We don't kick doors down, or we do, and He'll let you. But the only right door is the ones that God opens. The ones that He opens, and you just have to walk through them. When they're wide open, they're so easy to walk through because He's the one who picked the lock and He opened it for you. So that was a little sidestep, but it does definitely apply here. And I wanted to mention that because everyone has this available to them if they just choose to reach for it. Every single person. Even the person that's later stages of their life, if they become positive, guess what? They can have an intense spiritual life. Focused, dedicated, and God will honor that. God will honor that. So, and we're at 8 o'clock, if that clock is right. So let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank You for Your matchless grace. Thank You for being so visible to us through Your Word, showing us Your thinking, showing us everything that You want us to see and do, because it's so pertinent in our circumstances, in everything that we have going on right now. In the midst of all this, there's contentment, there's comfort that You provide in Your Word, and You promise us these things. And You meet us there when we just trust You to do it. And most of all, we thank You for Jesus Christ, because You sent Him for one reason to the earth, to die for the sins of the world. And what that did for us is it gave us the option to simply believe that fact and have an eternal relationship with You. Just by believing. Your Word tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Nothing we can do for it, so You provided it. You had to provide it and You did. Actually, You didn't have to do anything. That's grace. You did it anyways. And we thank You so much for that, for having that option available. So we can have a relationship that is never ending with You. Thank You so much, and we love You for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.